I hope you had your sheets from yesterday. I just wanted to finish up one nakuda from yesterday. We were discussing if there is a mitzvah to eat meat, and then we'll move on to the next topic. So we discussed yesterday that when the world was created, Adam HaRishon was not permitted to eat meat. He was only allowed to eat the vegetables of the world, the vegetation, but not the meat. And then after the Mabul, it was permitted to Bnei Noach to eat meat. We discussed two possible reasons why. Perhaps it was nothing else to eat, or perhaps Noach had deserved and earned the right to eat the animals because he had the one who saved them during the Mabul. But after the times of Noach, for all intents and purposes, afterwards, one is allowed to continue to eat meat. As the Pasuk says in this week's parasha, the B'chol Tavas Nafshecha Tochal Basar. Whenever you're interested in, you're hungry, you want to eat meat, Ki Tavas Nafshecha Tochal Basar, B'chol Tavas Nafshecha Tochal Basar. So it's permitted. But it sounds like it's only permitted. It's not necessarily an obligation to eat meat. Some Rishonim, the comment of the Rav Sadia going, that seems to imply there's an obligation to eat meat, like a person is obligated, Yushalmi says, a person is obligated to enjoy all that he desires within the world. Hirsch is famous for mentioning this with regards to seeing the Swiss Alps. The Kadosh Baruch Hu would have tainas on him if he didn't enjoy that which he created. So if a person doesn't enjoy, limits his enjoyment in this world because of some ascetic view of the world, which is not found in Yiddishkeit, so then Kadosh Baruch Hu might have tainas on you. So too, Rav Sadia Gaon seems to imply perhaps there's even a mitzvah to eat meat if that's what you so desire. But for all intents and purposes, we generally assume there's no mitzvah to eat meat necessarily, inherently. It's one is permitted to eat meat. But there might be certain instances or times when a person is indeed, according to everyone, required to eat meat. And we mentioned one such instance would be with regards to eating karbanos, which it seems that all of the Rishonim, whether or not they counted independently in the Minyan HaMitzvahs or it's part of some other mitzvah, part of finishing off the karban or following through on the karban, to eat the meat, some Rishonim count it as an independent mitzvah. There's certainly an independent mitzvah to eat the meat of the karbanos if one will bring a karban in the Beis HaMikdash. Another circumstance that where a person is obligated to eat meat, perhaps with regards to the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash was fulfilled by bringing karbanos, but as we said yesterday, in our times, this is fulfilled to everybody with what brings them to that emotional experience of simcha, of enjoyment. So the Rambam told us, based on the Gemara Masechtas Pesachim, that ain't simcha nowadays b'yayin, with wine. Men enjoy wine, women enjoy clothing, the Gemara says. And the Rambam added, of course it's added to the Gemara doesn't say this, but the Rambam added that ain't simcha b'basar b'yayin. And at times a person only has that emotional experience of simcha if he's eating good food and drinking good wine, and good food, says the Rambam, is with basar. In fact, the Yad Ephraim, which is a commentary on the side of the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridea. So in Siman Aleph, it's a famous comment of the Yad Ephraim, says it's not even good enough with Bisar Oif, you have to have Bisar Behema. Chicken isn't good enough. Look, I think that is borne out in the reality. When people go out and they want to celebrate, so, those who are health conscious, about cholesterol and things like that and fat, will probably order the chicken or the fish. For those who are, if you're young, or whatever, and you have time to come to that, to more healthy lifestyle later on, so you'll choose the steak, people appreciate that more. So I think, if you want to carve to a greater experience on Yontif, appreciate the Simchas Yontif, chetzio lachem, so then a person would be preferable if he would have not even Basar Oif, but even have Basar Behema, particularly on Yontif. There's such an Indian to have Dafka Basar Behema. What about people who don't enjoy Basar? So there's one opinion, or Shefa likes to quote it, in a collection of Tshuvas called the Darkei Tshuva. Darkei Tshuva is written, Shefa will say it, the Darkei Tshiva, because it's written by the Munkach Rebbe. So he collects lots of Tshuvas that appeared after the time of the Pisrei Tshuva. Pisrei Tshuva, collected the Tshuvas that were before his period of time, the Chassam Seifers and the Nedev Yehudas, the Darkei Tshuva. Is after, so he has some other, a lot of more literature than was existed at the time of the Pisrei Tshuva. Darkei Tshuva lived at the beginning of the 1900s. So in the Darkei Tshuva there, he quotes from the Divrei Chaim, that's the Tzanzer Rav, that he felt everybody has to have Basar Behema. Even if you don't enjoy it, but lo da'itcha eitzel das kol b'nei yoda. Most people do enjoy meat, even if you don't, you're the outlier, and you have to force yourself to conduct yourself in accordance with what most people enjoy. Since most people enjoy meat, you have to force yourself to eat meat. So, the Darkei Tshuva goes and quotes the Shagas Aryeh, who disagreed. He said, no, if you don't enjoy it, it doesn't bring you to that emotional experience of simcha, you don't have to have the Basar Behem or even the Basar, or if you can have milchiks or whatever else you might enjoy, if you legitimately enjoy that more, so then that would also be permitted. And we discussed yesterday there might be certain instances when we would all enjoy, you know, a meal that's not as heavy, 3-day yontif, or if it's a bris. So even though there's a chiyuv simcha, even on a 3-day yontif, you know, a chiyuv simcha, even at a bris, when it's 6:30 in the morning, but most people at that time probably don't enjoy, you know, kishka and the gribiness, the fried chicken fat. You know, we probably want something a little bit lighter. So then most people would enjoy something a little bit lighter, so it would be permitted to have, you could fulfill simcha with that which you enjoy. And if a person is a vegetarian, you know, he doesn't enjoy meat, so then he could fulfill simchas yontif in other ways. We said you should have mailed it in. You should have something of significance. No tuna fish sandwiches, you know, but or mac and cheese. But you know, if a person has, you know, has a bekavedik meal, he can fulfill simchas yontif even if he doesn't have fleshes. So it could be that a person then, you know, could perhaps conduct himself with a vegetarian or vegan lifestyle. Now at times that we're not eating Karbanis, if he doesn't enjoy the meat. And in fact, it might even be preferable. Why might it be preferable to conduct oneself in that fashion? Because the Sefer Ikrim writes over here, this is Rabbi Yosef Albo, I guess one of the more esoteric Rishonim, but well known nonetheless. So the Sefer Ikrim writes in the end of the sheet from yesterday, Ois Tezvav, he says, even that which we are allowed to eat meat, if you look at the language of the Pasuk says, if you will desire meat, kitav and nafshecha lechol basar, v'chol avas nafshecha tochol basar. So satisfy your desire and eat the meat. Now, that's a really crass way of phrasing the Pasuk. So writes the Sefer Ikrim, in fact, this is only the Torah understanding that people have certain desires, and if we'll ask them to overcome them, they will be doomed to failure. He compares it to the pasuk at the beginning of Parashas Kisetze, which tells us that Kisetze Muhammad Oyvech, if a person goes out to war against his enemy, for Isa Bashavya, Ashes Yafas Tayar, he'll see in the heat of battle an Ashes Yafas Tayar, a woman he desires, so he goes through the following procedure in order to permit himself to marry the Ashes Yafas Tayar, even though she's currently not Jewish. So, why was this permitted? So, say Chazal, Odibra Torah, Kenegad Yetzirah, the Torah understood that the soldier in the heat of battle will not be able to overcome his Yetzirah. To avoid the Eishes Yifas Torah, so the Torah provided us a permissible way in which he could marry her. I mean, the Torah understood it's simply an Isayon that would be too great, and therefore the Torah gave us an avenue through which we could permit it. So Sel 2 says the Sefer Ikrim, with regards to eating meat, Lo Dibra Torah Ela Keneged Yetzirah. Look, it says over here, V'afilu Ma Shehita Mehem, says the Sefer Ikrim, Lo Dibra Torah Keneged Yetzirah Kama Shehita Lehem Yifas Torah Al Zeh HaDerech. He compares it to the Eishes Yifas Torah. When you have a desire to eat meat, lim the Torah derech eretz lo yechol adam basar ol teyavan. So you see from here, it's only if you really have a desire for the meat should you eat the meat. But otherwise, it might be better to be a vegetarian. Hinei go beferish achilas habasar lohuter otzar hahechreach. It's only when you need it, right? You got to have the barbecue. That's why when the world was created in that idyllic existence of Adam HaRishon, Kadam HaChet, there was no meat. Therefore, he says, when Adam HaRishon was created, there was no meat. That would be better. Rav Kook says, writes in one of his writings, that Lasa Lava will all return to the state of Adam HaRishon, Kadam HaChet, and will all be vegetarians. What does he do with all the karbonis and the Rambam that says the mitzvahs won't change and stuff? Okay, I don't know. But Rav Kook says that a person could return to that state of Adam HaRishon, Kadam HaChet. Well, I think he was a vegetarian. Be a vegetarian. Rav Kook already writes that a person should not do this yet. Wait, Lasa Lava will return to the state of Adam HaRishon, Kadam HaChet, but now in this world, we shouldn't conduct ourselves in this fashion. It's an ideal. Why? Because we're rachma v'kol ma'asav. We should have rachmanis on all of Hashem's creations. And it might even be more ethical to refrain from eating meat, let alone a person doesn't enjoy it. But it might be the most ethical standard, rachma v'kol ma'asav, to have rachmanis on all of Hashem's creations and not to refrain from eating the meat. Rav Kook says not to do it yet in our times. Why not? So he says, because if we raise our standard in the way that we treat the animals, we will not be just raising our standard in the way we treat the animals, we will be lowering our standard in the way that we treat human beings. And his vart is already found in the Sefer Ikrim himself. Sefer Ikrim, Yosef Albo, again, one of the Rishonim, writes, what brought Cain to kill Hevel? What happened? Remember Parshas Bereishis? Cain's carbon was not accepted. But what type of carbon did he bring? He brought an agricultural carbon, because he was a farmer. Hevel was a shepherd, so he brought, from that which he owned, he brought an animal carbon. Cain's carbon was not accepted. Hevel's carbon was accepted. Cain got angry, and he killed Hevel. Right? Why was Cain's carbon not accepted? Says the Sefer Ikrim. Because it's right there. My American Gimel Perk as well. I didn't give it to you. It's too long. But the Sefer Ikrim, you can look it up. It's Kedai. He says, why was Cain's carbon not accepted? Because why did he not bring an animal carbon? It's not just because he was a farmer and he worked in agriculture, so he brought from that which he had available. He didn't believe it was ethically correct to kill an animal in the service of the Ribbono Shel Olam. An animal sacrifice. He thought it was unethical. So he didn't do it. Fine. But then he saw his carbon wasn't accepted because that's the wrong hashkafa. For the animals were given to us to service human beings, to service the Ribbono Shel Olam. So he saw Hevel brought an animal carbon and it was accepted. He said, oh, you see from here that you can kill animals in the service of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But what happened when you raised the ethical standard in which we treat animals? What did that bring him to do? To kill Hevel. It brought, all it did was equate animals with human beings in the sense to uplift the animals to the state, you know, to like people call, you know, they're animals, they're pets, but you know, with human names, and they're in the pictures by the simplest. You know, it doesn't elevate the animal to become part of the family. What it does, it brings down the family to become like the animals. And Cain recognized the sense, or he derived that if you're allowed to kill an animal to serve the rebuttal, I could kill a human being too. It lowered the way that he treated all of humanity. In fact, I think the Nazis are famous, even though that they had were very loved their pets. They had dogs. Hitler, I think, had a dog, and they treated with very great esteem. So, what did that lead them to do? Not to treat human beings better, as we know. Of course, that led them to treat human beings, with less dignity and less respect. Less chashivas in their eyes. So uplifting the ethical standards through which we treat animals doesn't only uplift the animals, it lowers human beings. So therefore, the dignity we treat human beings. Sefer of Cook says, right? Sefer Ikrim says, that was the mistake of Cain. When he saw he could bring an animal as a carbon to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, that led him to kill Hevel. So too, we should, we'll return to the state of Adam Arishan Kodim Achet, of being vegetarians. But in this world, if a person enjoys meat, he should eat the meat. If he doesn't enjoy it, that brings him enjoyment through other things, so then he doesn't have to eat it on Yontif, as long as celebrates Yontif in a kavodika fashion. Okay, so there might or might not be a mitzvah to eat meat in our times on Yontif. Could be a person could fulfill it in another way. Okay, so we discussed whether or not there's a mitzvah to eat meat. But before we begin really discussing the halachas of Shechita, we have to... Really, one other introductory topic is whether or not there's a mitzvah. We said you don't necessarily have to eat meat, but if you want to eat meat, is it a mitzvah to do shechita, or is it that the shechita, the way that the Torah told us to go about producing the meat, is just a matir? And is that just what permits us to eat the meat, or is it in fact a mitzvah to do it if a person has a desire to eat meat? So this seems to be a big machlekes harishanim. Here, the Rambam writes, with a few important distinctions. The Rambam writes over here in Sefer Mitzvah, I say Kuf Memvav. Says the Rambam, He should tzivanu lishchait behema chai va'of. The Torah commanded us to shech the behema, a chai and an oif, a bird, a domesticated animal, non-domesticated animal, va'achar yochol basar, and then you could eat their flesh. V'oshiyela hen heta el b'shchita levad. It will only be permitted through this method, this procedure of shechita. V'ram Yisrael, and that's what the pasuk says in this week's parasha. Parasha Zerei, v'zavachta mi bekarcha mitzoyncha kasher tzivisicha. You should shech the animals like I commanded you. V'roshon Sifri, v'zavachta. You should shech them ma mukdashim b'shechita. Av chulim b'shchita kasher tivisicha. Just like korbanos have to be shechted, so in the same manner, a person goes about producing meat, which is chulin as well, which is not korbanos. So Rambam states explicitly that it is a mitzvah to do shchita. He shetzivanu lishchot behema chayav ha'oif. He counts it in the minyan mitzvahs. The Ravid, not in his commentary to the Sefer Mitzvahs, there is no Hasagas HaRavid on the Sefer Mitzvahs, but at the beginning of the Rambam's Minyan HaMitzvahs, he has a table of contents known as the Minyan HaKotzer. So there you'll find Hasagas HaRavid. Oftentimes you'll go looking for the Hasagas HaRavid in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, you can't find it because it's only on the table of contents. I don't know why, but that's where it's found. So the Ravid, I don't know how many Hasagas he has, maybe 10, he doesn't have a lot. But the Hasagas HaRavid over there disagrees. He says, Zeh Ein Lo Tam. There's no mitzvah to do shchita. Lav haba mechlal asei asei. He says, what is there? There's a prohibition. From the fact that the Torah said, if you want to eat meat, you have to produce it by following the following procedure. It's only permitted after the following procedure. That's not a mitzvah to do it necessarily. It's just telling us if you didn't do this, it's prohibited. It's a lav which is inferred from the asei, but it's not in fact a mitzvah asei at all. So according to the Ravid, the Torah is not commanding us to do shechita. The Torah is just saying if you want to eat the meat, you have to follow the following procedure. If you didn't follow the following procedure, then it's prohibited. It's nevela, or it's Eiver ben Achai, it's still alive, or it's an animal that was killed not through the process of shechita, b'sar nechira, b'sar nevela, whatever it is, it's not permitted. But it's not necessarily a mitzvah to do shechita. Therefore, the Ravid doesn't count it in the minyan mitzvahs. This seems to be whether it's counted as an independent mitzvah, seems to be two deyos in Tosfos. All the Achronim point out, based on Tosfos and Masechta Shavuos. Because Gemara says in Shavuos, look over here, Chavdal Amud Aleph, there's a principle known as Ein Iser Chalal Iser. We're going to discuss it at length if we ever get up to possible Chalal. But Ein Iser Chalal Iser means once something is prohibited, a second prohibition cannot affect the same item. Meaning, we don't have multiple layers of prohibitions unless they exist independently, meaning one is more expansive than the other. One is more severe than the other. But if they're really just redundant, so ein iser chalal iser. One iser can't be chal in a second iser. So therefore, the Gemara says, Masechta the Shavuos, ha'ochol nevela b'yom ha'kippurim, if you eat a nevela on Yom Kippur, so by accident, so do you have to bring a carb? You have to bring a carbon for the nevela. Do you have to bring a carbon for eating it on Yom Kippur? Right? It's not kosher meat, so you got to eat. You bring a chatas for that. Do you have to bring a chatas for the fact that you ate it on Yom Kippur? A second chatas. So Rashi, the Gemara says no. Poter. Rashi explains poter mechatas. The lo atzi kares the Yom Kippur and v'chayo isu nevela. The kares of Yom Kippur cannot apply to this item which was already a nevela, and even if it became a nevela on Yom Kippur, it was aser because of Eiver ben Achai. If it was alive at the at the time, the onset of Yom Kippur, it was Eiver ben Achai. You can't rip off a limb and eat it. And one is not me by Arab, even if it wasn't a nevela from the day before, but it became a nevela on Yom Kippur, but it's Eiver ben Achai, it's still prohibited. So the Iser of Yom Kippur doesn't superimpose. It's not superimposed on the Iser nevela. Why not? Yom Kippur is much more severe. Nevela is a lav. Yom Kippur is kares. Good question. Okay, it's a ganza sugi over there. Okay, but you're part of from the second one because ain't Iser Chalal Iser. So Taisa there has two opinions with regards to this matter. Taisa says, Yesh Leimar, but why is Yom Kippur not Chal in the Nevega? The Iser Yom Kippur lo Chayo, lo Mechayim lo Lacham Isa. He says, like Rashi in the first opinion, that even if the animal became an Nevela on Yom Kippur, meaning when Yom Kippur came in, it was alive. Nonetheless, ein iser chalal iser. The iser of Yom Kippur cannot be chal on this item. Mishum de isbe iser asei she'ein azvucha. Because there is still the mitzvah sasei, or the inference of the mitzvah sasei, of the fact that it has not properly been shechted. The siv is avach v'achal to masha tozerveach ha'to'echo, ava masha'iyah tozerveach lo. So even if it's still alive, not because of the iser of Eiver ben Achai, but because of the iser of ein azvucha, that's why the iser of Yom Kippur doesn't apply to this live animal because it hasn't been shechted properly. And since it hasn't been shechted properly, it's prohibited. By virtue of what? Not by virtue of these of Eivim Nachai, by virtue of the fact that the Pasuk says, Bezavach Tevachalta. You're supposed to shecht it and eat it. If you didn't shecht it, you can't eat it. The Ritva says, and then the Tosfos quotes the Ritzba. The Ritzba ain't near a perish there. No, you can't infer from there a mitzvah saseh to do shchita lo osa le'esar. That's not an isah. The belav haki asur v'kaim mechaim isah even nachai. You know why the isah of Yom Kippur is not chal on the animal when it's alive at the entrance, you know, at the onset of Yom Kippur? Because the isah of even nachai, like Rashi says. Ula'achar misah b'isah nevela. And it can't apply to the animal if at the beginning of Yom Kippur it was dead already because of the isah nevela. And isah chal alisah. The mitzvah of izavach v'chalta ain't a ba ela lahatir es ha'aser upir shulchad b'shchita sharia v'lo b'nechira. It is not coming to tell us a prohibition to be matir, an iser. Rather, I'm sorry. It's only coming to be matir an iser. It's not a separate, independent mitzvah. Lahatir es ha'aser upir shulchad b'shchita sharia v'lo b'nechira. Meaning, this is just in order to be matir the iser of ena, you know, something that hasn't been shechted, but it's not an independent mitzvah in its own right, from which we could say ein iser chalal iser. So the Ritzba seems to play down the mitzvah of izavachta, and according to the first opinion, Taisus, it seems to play a more prominent role. But the reason why the iser of Yom Kippur is not chal on the animal when it's still alive at the onset of Yom Kippur is because the izavachta v'chalta, that itself is an independent mitzvah. And from which we can infer that it hasn't been shechted, it would be prohibited, and therefore at the entrance of Yom Kippur, the Isser of Yom Kippur can't be chal on the Isser of the Eina Zvucha. All right, so it seems to be a machlokes in the Rambam and the Ravid, perhaps two opinions in Tosfos and Shavuos, if we could shtup it into that Tosfos and Shavuos somehow, that it seems to be a machlokes as what is the mitzvah of Shechita all about. Is there a mitzvah to do Shechita? Or is it that it's just, we're inferring from here that if you didn't do shechita, it's prohibited, but it's not necessarily a mitzvah, to do it. Rav Soloveitchik in his Shiurim claimed that this machlokes in the Rambam and the Ravid really has to do with a comment of the Ramban, this week's parasha, and how one understands shechita schulin in general. Meaning, is shechita schulin an extension of shechita kochim? And therefore, just like kachim, shechting karbanos is a mitzvah, so too shechting chulin is a mitzvah. Or perhaps shechting chulin, meaning shechting meat to eat in the grocery store, is not connected with shechitas hakarbanos at all. And therefore, even though shechitas hakarbanos is a mitzvah, shechitas chulin might not necessarily be a mitzvah. Because look at the way the Ramban interprets that pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'zavachta v'chalta kasher tzivisicha." Right? Yeah. You should shech the animals like I commanded you. Perikud Beis, Prophet Chaf Aleph. So Ramban says, Hinei metchila tziva sheyeh kol ma shehem ochlim shlomim. Initially, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us in our travels throughout the Midbar that all of the meat, you know, that they should go about shech, that they would shech, would all be shlomim. Veim shkutim kemishpat ha-karbonos, we shechted like following the procedure of the karbonos. Va'ata kishabal la'ata b'sar ha-chulin. Now that meat that is not karbonos is being permitted, the Torah is describing that. I mean, initially the Torah described karbonos. Now we're coming to b'sar ha-chulin, to meat that's not karbonos. Omer b'zavach mi'vikach mitzoyncha kasher v'tzivisicha. You should shecht it like I told you to shecht the karbonos. B'yosim karbonos, meaning just like you shechted karbonos, you should shecht these animals as well. But these you can eat as much as you desire. Loimar, she'atiram chulam b'chol makom, uvovad, you can eat it and wherever you want. She'uzavuchem kasher tziva mitchigo b'yoysim kulam karbonos. As long as you shecht them in the same fashion in which you shechted karbonos, v'zehu pshuto shalmik v'zehu anochen. Okay, that's the proper way to interpret this. Prosa kasher tzivisicha, like I commanded you, meaning like I commanded you by karbonis, you should check the animals here as well. And look back at the Rambam and say, for mitzvahs kuf mem vav, the Rambam says, compares it to karbonis. V'zavachto ma mukdashim b'shchita, avchulim b'shchita. So Soloveitchik explains in his shiurim that according to the Rambam, it's not surprising then that shchita is a mitzvah. Because it's derived, kasher tzivisicha, just like I commanded you by karbanos, and certainly karbanos is a mitzvah, so to shechitas chulin should also be a mitzvah. Perhaps the Ravid, who understood it's not a mitzvah, this is just a procedure you have to follow to be matir, maybe the Isser of Abraham and Achai, or to be matir, you know, the meat that was not shechted properly. So he understands that this is a separate mitzvah in the Torah. It doesn't mean kasher to visicha is telling us if you follow the procedure. But Yoelam, maybe it has nothing to do, it's not derived from karbonos, it's not an extension of karbonos. Shechitas chulin is not the same as shechitas hakarbonos. And therefore, even though shechitas hakarbonos is a mitzvah, shechitas chulin might not necessarily be a mitzvah. So this machlek sarishonim, whether or not shechitas is a mitzvah, or if it's just matir the basar, meaning it's just a procedure you have to follow, but it's not a mitzvah to do it at all, might depend on how, whether shechitas chulin is connected to shechitas hakarbonos. And just like Shechitas HaKarbonos is a mitzvah, Shechitas Chulin should be a mitzvah, whether it's not connected to Shechitas HaKarbonos. And even though Shechitas HaKarbonos is a mitzvah, Shechitas Chulin might not necessarily be a mitzvah. And Salvechik suggests, it really goes back to how to interpret that pasuk, Hasher Tzivisicha. You should shech the animals like I commanded you. Does that mean like I commanded you by Karbonos? Or does it mean like I commanded you here in order to produce kosher meat? That's Salvechik's Shikul Torah. You see this notion already from Taisus and Zvachim. Look, Taisus says himself to Zvachim. Over here, I say. Taisus quotes Rabbi Yaakov May Orleans. Not from Louisiana. But Orleans. Mefarish Lav Avoidahi. That Shechita is not considered to be an Avoidah. Shechita is the one of the Avoidah Shebedam. One of the avodas of the hakarbonis that's permitted to be with a zar. Most of the avodas hakarbonis, of course, require a kohen. Shechita is ksher bizar. So he's explaining why. Why should shechita be different than the other avoda? Right? Every other avoda in the Beis Hamikdash requires a kohen. How come over here it's good enough with a zar, meaning a non kohen? So he says, Rabbi Yaakov Meir Orleans Mefarish Lab Avodahi Gefisha Shave Bechun Uvekachem. He says, Lamais, it's the same. The Sheikhet in Iowa is doing the same thing that the Kohen was doing in the Beis HaMikdash. So if everybody's doing the same thing, why should I require a Kohen to do it when it comes to the Karbonos if I can have the Tzar do it when he's doing it to produce hamburgers? It's the same action. Meaning he's doing it in the other direction, he's equating Shechitas Kachem with Shechitas Kohen, and therefore saying if Shechitas Kohen is Ksher Bizar, I can have anybody do Shechita. So then why can't I have everybody do Shechitas Kachem too? Shechitas Kachem and Shechitas Chulin are all the same. By the same token, if Shechitas Kachem and Shechitas Chulin are all the same, and just like Shechitas Chulin is Ksher Bizar, I don't need a Kohen. Shechitas Kachem doesn't need a Kohen, if that's why. So then maybe one could extend it in the other one, could make extend the relationship in the other direction. If Shechitas Kachem is a mitzvah, now we understand why Shechitas Chulin is also a mitzvah. Because it's connected to Karbonos. That's the Rambam. And the other Rishonim, the Ravid, understood that the Shechitas Chulin is a separate thing than Shechitas Kachem. You know why a Zar is Kasher for Shechita? A whole different reason. Could have given a million reasons why Shechita is Kasher Bizar as opposed to the other Avodos. It's not Shechitas Chulin, it's not connected to Shechitas Kachem. Shechitas Kachem is a mitzvah, Shechitas Chulin is not. And it's just in order to be Mati, you have to follow this procedure in order to permit the meat. Of course, the first difference, nafkamina, whether shechita is a mitzvah or is a matir, it's just the procedure you have to follow in order to permit the meat, or whether it's a mitzvah to do it if you want to eat meat, is whether or not, of course, you should make a brocha. So look over here, the Rambam writes, Perek Alpha Filcha Shechita Locha Aleph, mitzvah saseh sheyishchot. It's a mitzvah to perform shechita, mi sheyir telecho basar, if you want to eat meat. Again, the Rambam feels there's no mitzvah to eat meat. If you want to eat meat, there's a mitzvah to perform shechita. But it's not just a procedure you have to follow. Ma to the Easter is, in fact, a mitzvah. The pasuk in here in this week's parsha. And of course, the mitzvah of shechita, is the same with regards to behemoths, domesticated animals, non-domesticated animals, birds, it's all the same. Therefore, the Rambam concludes on the third line. It's one set of halachas of shechita by all of these three categories of animals. Therefore, the Rambam writes, lefichach, therefore, which is always the significant word in the Rambam, just like kishem, similarly, really? Well, what's so similar between A and B? So why does one necessarily follow from the other? Lefichach, says the Rambam, B, logically must follow from A. What follows from the fact that shechita is a mitzvah? לפיכך, השוקת בהמה או חיה, או עוף, מברך תחילו אשר קדשנו זריס וסיוון על השחיטה. So the Rambam, therefore, since Shechita is a mitzvah, it necessarily follows that you should make a bracha on Shechita. That's why you make a bracha. Of course, the bracha then would be a birch ha-mitzvah. That's how the Lechem Mishnah learned the Rambam. Look at the Lechem Mishnah over here in the brackets. Kloimar, Kevin shamarnu she-Shechita hi mitzvah saseh, ve-ein reshus, v'kach tzarech levarach. Why do you have to make a bracha? Because since it's a mitzvah, as the Rambam told us in the first line, and not just, if you want to eat meat, you have to follow this procedure. It's actually a mitzvah to do it. Therefore, you make a bracha. The Kesef Mishnah didn't learn the Rambam that way, interestingly. Look back, the Kesef Mishnah, three lines from the bottom, four lines from the bottom. The Kesef Mishnah says, no, what the Rambam means is, why do we make the same bracha? Because when the Rambam says a fikach, he's usually referring to the previous statement. Not the, here, according to the Lechem Mishnah, the Rambam's going all the way back to his initial statement. Mitzvah says tishrech. Shechita is universal and it applies the same to all animals. Then the fichach, you should make a bracha. So the therefore sounds like it's referring to the fact that shechita is universal. How does that follow that therefore automatically you have to make a bracha? So for the Lechem Mishnah is a little bit doichek. He says the Rambam is really going back on his initial statement. Shechita is a mitzvah. Oh, and then by the way, it's universal. That's like a footnote. But since it's a mitzvah, the fichach, you have to make a bracha. It's a little bit doichuk. So Kesef Mishnah learns the Rambam, no, of course you have to make a bracha because it's a mitzvah. That's not what the Rambam's fichach is talking about. What the Rambam is telling us is, since shechit is universal, meaning it applies the same way to all the different animals, therefore you make one bracha for all the different animals. Meaning I don't make a bracha al shechitas oifis. I don't make a bracha al shechitas chayas, al shechitas behemas. Why? Why don't I identify what I'm shechting? Because shechit is the same. That's what the Rambam meant to say. So look at the Kesef Mishnah. Lefika says the Kesef Mishnah. Shechit behema chayo o'of mevar yitli o'shek yitshan v'sizvanu al shechita kloimar. Im hayu muchlokim b'dineihem, if there would be distinctions between them, hayitzarach levarach al chaya al shechitas chaya uba'oif al shechitas ha'oif. I should have said al shechitas chaya. I should have said al shechitas ha'oif. Identified what I'm shechting in the bracha. Why don't we do that? Because shechita is all the same. Shin Shechita is all the same, so we don't bother mentioning the different animals that you're shechting at the time. We list them all together. Okay, but the Kesef Mishnah, the Lechem Mishnah learning the Rambam, perhaps even though it's a little bit doichek in the language, conceptually it's more makes more sense. Since Shechita is a mitzvah, obviously, therefore you have to make a bracha. And what type of bracha would the bracha be? It would be a birchas hamitzvah. The Rush might imply otherwise, initially at least. Why? Because the Rush, in Maseches Ksubis, has a famous arichus about the Nusach of Birchas Erusin. Have anybody know the Birchas Erusin by heart? No. You've been Mesadak Kedushin for a few times, you know. The Sheikh Hisham says it's Ivano, our Arayos, Vasalanos Arusos, Vitalanos Nasuos Lana, the Chuba Vikidushin. What a long bracha. And we go on a whole dissertation about the arayos, and so we drain a cup. Why don't we just say al mitzvahs kiddushin? Forget about it. What's this whole arichus? So the Rush tries to dissect it and pick apart why we have such a long bracha. And what the Rush concludes is because there is no mitzvah to get married. It's not a mitzvah al mitzvahs kiddushin because there is no mitzvahs kiddushin. What is the mitzvah? Says the Rush. What's the mitzvah? What is the mitzvah? Pruvu! Ah! How else are you going to fulfill Pruvu? Fulfill Pruvu with a pilegesh, he says. You really don't even have to get married. So since getting married is not necessarily a mitzvah, you can even, the mere mitzvah is Pruvu, and you could even fulfill Pruvu in another fashion. So therefore, says the Rosh, it's not really a mitzvah to get married at all, so therefore we don't make a birchas mitzvah on getting married. What is the nature, the type of bracha, what category of bracha is the birchas erusin? A birchas shel vayda. We're praising Hashem for the institution of marriage, which is a positive thing for humanity. So therefore, says the Rosh, that's why the bracha is so strange. It's such an arichas because we're really just praising Hashem for the institution of marriage. It's not a birchas mitzvah at all. However, that's why the Rosh holds, when do you make the birchas erusin? After the chassan gives the kala the ring. Anybody ever seen that? I hope not. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam holds that it's a birchas ha-mitzvah. The Rambam holds there is a mitzvah to get married. It's not just a mitzvah to have children. There's an independent mitzvah to get married. Even if you're not interested in having children, the Rambam's opinion is a mitzvah to be married. Maybe because the Rambam holds you can't have a pilegish in our times, so therefore the only way to fulfill pruvu is through marriage. However you want to understand it, but the Rambam feels it's a mitzvah to get married, and the bracha is in fact a birchas ha-mitzvah. So it's made over lasiyas, and just like you make your bracha before putting on your tzitzis or your talis, so do you make your bracha on your tefillin before you tie your tefillin to your arm? It's supposed to be on your arm, but before you tighten the knot, you're supposed to make the bracha over lasiyas, and before you do it, so too the bracha of kiddushin is made over lasiyas, and we make it before the chasen gives the cow the ring, and that's our practice. The Rush, though, disagrees. The Rush feels the mitzvah, the bracha, birchas erusin, is not a mitzvah at all. It's a birchas shevavaydah. So like you make a bracha on lightning, a thunder, after you hear, you see the lightning, you hear the thunder. So too here, you should make the birchas shevavaydah, the bracha of praise to Hashem, after the event, after kiddushin. That's when you should make it. We don't do that. We're chayshish like the Rambam. So we make it over lasiyasan. But that was the opinion of the Rush. However, according to the Rosh, many argue, we really passing like the Rosh, you know, by Birchas Erusin. It's not a Birchas HaMitzvah. If it would be a Birchas HaMitzvah, so who should be making it? The Chassan. We don't give it to the Chassan to make. It's his mitzvah. We have a Masada Kiddushin who makes it. So that might already, so maybe you'll say, well, we're afraid for the Chassan who doesn't know how to make the Bracha. Or maybe you can say, no, it's because we really paskin. It's a birchas shevavaydah. If it's a birchas shevavaydah, whose bracha is it? Not necessarily the chosin. It's everyone who's present. We're all praising Hashem for the institution of marriage, that this chosin and kala are now about to be married. So it's really the bracha for everyone. It's a birchas shevavaydah. That's why we don't give it to the chosin to make. Even if the chosin could be a Talmud Chacham who printed many svarim and has 4 degrees of smicha, you know, yadin yadin, we don't allow him to make the birchas erusin. It's not his bracha. It's the bracha on the tzibah. To birchas shevavaydah to Hashem for giving us the institution of marriage. So that's why Rav Shechter writes in the Sefer Bikvei Hatzon that the bracha should not is, you know, we allow the chassan to pick his own masada kiddushin. Look, it's your day, you know, have at it. But it's really supposed to be the representative of the entire audience. So it should probably be not who the chassan feels closest to. It should probably be the greatest Talmud Chacham who's there in the audience, who everyone would want to be their representative. That's why it's a little bit inappropriate when the chassan picks, you know, his chassan teacher, who's you know, Shem Shnuk, who's 43, instead of you have a Rashke Bahag, the Gadol Hador there, you know, and you have, well, I don't feel close with him. Well, it's not about you necessarily. It's perhaps who the audience feels closest to, who they would like to be mechabed. It's their bracha birchas shevavaydah, not necessarily the chassan's bracha birchas. Okay, but we don't do that because whoever. General rule in life is hut the mea, hut the dea, right? If you're paying the bill, you get the only say. So, okay. The chassan gets to pick whoever he wants. Hut the mea, if you have the 100, you have the dea, right? You have the only opinion that matters. Okay, but it's really, and it's still inappropriate, it's really the brach on behalf of the entire tzibur, birchas shevavaydah. So birchas erusin says the Rosh, maybe we even paskin that way, is a birchas shevavaydah in the institution of marriage. There is no mitzvah to get married. So in that context, the Rosh asks, what about Shechita? What's going on over there? Why do we make a bracha? What? He didn't ask about lulav. He didn't ask about matzah. He didn't ask about maror. Why is he bothered by Shechita? I mean, why is he even bringing it up in this discussion, the same breath as Erusin? Must be the Rosh is of the opinion Shechita is not a mitzvah. Ooh, then why am I making a bracha? So he says, no, that's what he thought. But he says not the same as Erusin. He says, shkita. Shkita, you don't have to eat meat if you don't want to, right? It's only if you want to that you have to eat the meat. Yeah, but when you shecht, you make a bracha. You can't eat it without the shkita. What does that mean? You can fulfill pruvu without kiddushin. How? Through the means of a pilegesh. Discussion for another time. Okay, fine. You can fulfill it through a pilegesh. You don't have to get married. So then why is it? But by shkita, where you have to. An only way to produce kosher meat is by shkita. That's why you make a bracha. But gam. So what's his first answer? First answer is there's no other way of producing meat. And then he adds, "V'gam hasam afke krab aloshen sivoy." There the Torah formulates it as a mitzvah. The chsiv is avachta v'achalta. You should shecht and then you should eat. If a man will happen to take a wife, there's no mitzvah to do it. If you want to do it, do it. But I'm not telling you to do it. If you happen to do it, okay, do it this way. Here it says, do it. If you want to eat meat, do this. Sounds like it's a mitzvah. Also, it's related to Shechitas Kodshim, which is a mitzvah. So too here, you make a bracha as well. So the Rush, perhaps initially in his raising the issue in the context of Kiddushin, was suggesting or was dealing with the fact, by warning the position that Shechitah is not a mitzvah at all, just like Kiddushin is not a mitzvah, Shechitah is not a mitzvah. Yeah, if you want to have meat, you got to do it in this way. If you want to get married, you got to do it in this way, but it's not a mitzvah to do it. And then he corrects himself and he says, no, Shechitah is not the same at all. Because perhaps Shechitah is a mitzvah. It's phrased B'lashon Tzivoy, or perhaps it's a mitzvah by virtue of the fact that it's identical, analogous to Shechitas Kodshim. Shechitas Kodshim is a mitzvah, so to hear would be a mitzvah as well. What about those Rishonim, though, who hold it's not a mitzvah? We said the Rambam counts it in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. But the Ramban feels it's connected to Shechitas Kodshim. Shechitas Kodshim is a mitzvah. Shechitas Kulin should be a mitzvah. The Rive told us it's not a mitzvah at all. It's if you want to lava above Mechlal, say you want to eat meat, you got to do it in this way. But it's not a mitzvah. So if it's not a mitzvah, why are you making a bracha? So the Taz over here, Zion, says, in fact, Ikar Kavana, really the bracha is not a birchas mitzvah at all. Ikar Kavana, go say Shevach, Lemokon Baruchu, Al Sha'atzel Lenu Achilas Basav Leishkita. You're right. It's not a birchas mitzvah at all. Shkita's Kulin. It's rather, it's a Birch Hashem of Vaida to Hashem for giving us the institution of Shechita. What's so great about the institution of Shechita that we have to give a Shechita? Right, the institution of marriage is, wow, that's something that changed the course of humanity. What's so great about Shechita? Perhaps it's because it minimizes Tzar Balei Chaim, right? It's the most humane way of killing the animal, and we thank Hashem for giving us, providing us with the guidance about how to treat animals in a humane fashion. So it's a Birch Hashem of Vaida. So Hashem, for giving us the institution of Shechita, what's so great about Shechita? You could kill the animal with a bullet, you could kill it with some other way. No, this is the most humane way, and therefore we thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for instructing us how to conduct ourselves in the fashion of Shechita. So the mitzvah of Shechita, it might not be a mitzvah at all. If it's not a mitzvah at all, why are we making a bracha? You're right, it's not a birch a mitzvah, it's a birch shevach v'hayda. Okay, so we've had a machlekes rishonim. Is there a mitzvah to do Shechita, or just this is a procedure you have to follow if you want to eat meat? And we said that might make a difference. What kind of bracha is Shechita? Is Shechita Birch HaMitzvah? Or is the Taz, like the Rambam seems to tell us, or like the Rush seems to imply? Or perhaps is a Birch HaShevach V'Hayidah on the institution of Shechita, but it's not necessarily a mitzvah to do it. And that's what that's the opinion that the Taz accepts in Yeridei Siman Aleph. Rav Soloveitcher continued, and he suggested that in fact this might make another difference. It might be at the heart of a comment of the Ramban. Ramban is commenting on the Mishnah at the beginning of the second parak. Chevra, open your chulin. I'm sorry. You crack the binding. Yeah. In Daf Chav Zayin, there are two parts of the animal that have to be severed in order to perform a proper shechita: the kana and the veshet, the windpipe, and the esophagus. And in an animal, you have to shecht both. In a bird, we'll see it's only one. So therefore the Mishnah says, Ashoichet eka ba'oif, v'shnayim bebehema. You shecht one simon in a bird, two in the animal. It's shechitas k'sheira. V'rubo sho echad kamohu. If you shecht one of them, the majority of the kana or the veshet, that's considered to be as if you shechted the entire thing. This is the basis for halacha known as rubo kakulo. You shechted the majority of it, it's as if you shechted all of it. Okay? So bird one, animals two, you have to shecht the kana and the veshet, and if you shechted the majority of it, it's as if you shechted the entire thing. However, the language of shkitasuk sheir is not that encouraging, right? Your shechit is good. Yeah. Doesn't sound like a glowing endorsement. So therefore the Gemara says at the beginning, Hashoichet, if you did this, or the beginning, Hashoichet, if you did it, Diyavet in l'chachil aloi. It's okay, but Diyavet l'chachil, you shouldn't do it. What shouldn't you do lechachila. So shnayim bebehema lechachila. But if you shechted both simanim of an animal, that's only b'di'evit. How much more can you possibly shecht? If it cut off its toes, what else are you going to do? If shechting the kanan neveshet is not enough, what more is required of me? How could this only be a b'di'evit? Of course, that's a lechachila. So the Gemara has two possibilities. Lo, ad kama lishchot velezo. I'm sorry. How much more can you possibly shecht? How much more do you have to dismember the animal in order for it to be kosher? So yibayis ema eka ba'oif. What's b'di'evit is only shechting one siman in a bird. That's b'di'evit. Lechachilu shecht both simanim in the bird too. The kana and the veshet. V'yibayis ema ruba shecha kamayu. That which we said ruba kakulo. The shecht the majority of the kana or the veshet. That's good enough. Both by oifus and by behemoth. That's only b'di'evit. Lechachila you should shecht the entire thing. Okay, so lechatchil, b'di'evet, it's enough if you shecht the rive or one of the bird. Lechatchil, you should shecht both in the bird, or perhaps lechatchil, you should shecht the entire kana and the veisha, not rely on rive. Chayav, if I would ask you, is this a dinder abanan or a dinder arise? This kind of lechatchil and b'di'evet. So usually lechatchil and b'di'evet, we assume are dinim derabanan, and that's how Rashi writes. Look at Rashi, ha'echad ba'oif. Kai hashechet lechatchila atzrechuhu rabbonon tarvayhu. The rabbanon required you mid the rabbanon, to shech both simanim in the bird. Not midday rice. Midday rice, it's enough with one. Midday rice, it's enough with the roiv. Mid the rabbanon, they required you to shech both simanim of the bird and the entire simon of the behema. But it's only did the rabbanon. That's how Rashi learns. Yeah, we're in agreement. Look at the Ramban. This is the Ramban. And that daf. Maybe this is a din d'oraisa. Mishum shemitzvah shchita al shnayim shleimim bein ba'oif bein behema lechatchila. You got to shech both simanim and all the way, not just roiv. The haki agamrei rachmana lemoisha lemishchot shnayim. This, in fact, is a lach lemoish mishinai a din d'oraisa to shech both. V'ruba shalecha ba'oif v'shal shnayim behema. Kekulon. That's b'di'evet. But then he says, "Ve'efshar t'chi ba'inan yoisem e'roiv echa ba'oiv e'roiv shnayim behema midrabanan." Who the fact that he required more than the roiv of one by a bird and the roiv of two by a behema is in fact only din derabanan. Maybe it's only din derabanan. He starts off. Maybe it's deraisa. That was the halach l'moish misinai. That lechatchila is proper, but the eved, if you only did one by a bird and roiv of both by the behemoth, it's okay. Lechatchila, you should do both. Then he says maybe this whole thing is a din derabanan. The b'dayraisa lo mafleg rachmana b'chol makom ben lechatchila b'di'evet. We don't find lechatchila and b'di'evet by dayraisa. Either it is or it isn't, right? We speak in absolutes. Either yes or no. Either you fulfilled what you do, you're supposed to, or you didn't. There's no b'di'evet. By the rise. So the whole concept of b'di'evit is only a concept in the Rabbanon. That's what the Ramban concludes. So is this a din? The fact that you have to shech both simanim is perhaps only a din in the Rabbanon. What is the Ramban going back and forth about? He started off, maybe it's a din d'oraisa. Then maybe there's only a din d'rabbanon. So Salvechik explained based on Tosfos Kamat Masechtas Nida. Rav Shechter quotes this often. Tosfos Masechtas Nida is discussing the following halacha you might be familiar with. The pasuk says, in connection with a person who's going to the mikvah, v'rachas etz kol besaroi. You have to wash your entire body. So that comes to teach us that you're not allowed to have a chatzitz on your body. You're not allowed to have any foreign objects adhere to your body when you go into the mikvah. Men, when they go to the mikvah, are not as machbit about this, unless it's Yom Kippur, which might be din d'oraisa. But it's much more relevant for women going to the mikvah, for nida. So they have to make sure not to have any chatzitzas on their body. Any foreign things that are adhere to their body, if they would normally remove it, something they would normally be machbit about, you have to remove it. What about if it's something, though, general halacha, was considered chatzitza, was considered machbit, on the whole, we could spend a long time discussing. Fine. Not for now, though. But there's one unique halacha about chatzitza, is that it's only if it's a chatzitza that's on the outside of your body, because the pasuk says, v'racha says besaroi. You should wash your flesh. Ma besaro may have rye. Just like your flesh is outside, it's visible. So too, a chatzitza is only considered to be a chatzitza if it's outside of your body. What if I have a chatzitza on the inside of my body? Bebeis hastarim. In the cavities of the body. So the Gemara says, even though you don't have to open up your mouth when you're in the mikvah, if you've seen somebody do that, it's not kafi halacha, uman or something, I don't know what that's about. That's not, that's not nishvanunzura, but okay. Sometimes a fifth chayuk of Shulchan Aruch, I guess, right? There's no such halacha. You don't have to jump and pick up your feet, you know, and you see people do this, okay, man. You don't have to do that. You certainly don't have to open your ears or something. You know, beis hasdarim doesn't require bias mayim, but it has to be royal bias mayim. Even though the real chatzitz is only in the outside of the body, and therefore the inside of the body, you know, doesn't require to have contact with the water. But the Gemara says that even though you don't need bias mayim, you need royal bias mayim. It has to be something where if you would open it, there wouldn't be a chatzitz, a foreign object there. So therefore, a chatzitz bebeis hastarim is indeed a problem. Even though it doesn't have to touch the waters of the mikvah, it could still be a chatzitza. So that's why fillings are shilas of chatzitzas, even though you don't have to open your mouth when you're going to the mikvah, if you have a foreign object that's here to your body, which you plan to remove at some point, not a permanent filling, temporary fillings, and all these things are shilas, braces, all these things are shilas of a chatzitza.
What do you do in that situation?
Most of them are, since you want it there now, you're not intending on removing it. You want it there for a few years, certainly. So then that's not a chatzitza. The braces you want there. It becomes more complicated if it's a temporary filling. You're going to remove it in the afternoon. Can you go to the mikveh the night before? So you're going to remove it, so you don't want it anymore. Okay, but maybe you want it now. I've gotten some tumult with regards to every issue of chatzitza. So you need a chatzitza, but so you don't need, even though you don't have to open your mouth, a chatzitza b'beis hastarim is considered to be a chatzitza. Of course, if a person has a stent, you know, right, and he needs a stent in his, to open up his arteries, that's not a chatzitza, even if, you know, of course you want it there, but under any circumstance, that's not even b'beis hastarim, that's balua, that's inside of you. B'beis hastarim is a part of the body which the water, you know, if you would open that cavity, the water would come in. So that's considered to be beis hastarim, where chatzitza, like your mouth, where chatzitza could in theory be a problem. Or sometimes it's exposed, sometimes not exposed, right? If you open your mouth, it is exposed. If you close your mouth, it's not exposed. That's beis hastarim, the cavities of the body, and there chatzitza would be a problem, even though you don't have to open your mouth. But if you would, wouldn't be able to touch the entire part of your mouth because you have a foreign body there. So you'd have to remove that. Yeah. The glands are supposed to be removed before a woman goes to the mikveh. Yeah. What if she forgot? Should really be removed. The glands are supposed to be removed. Okay, so you can't have a chatzitza, beveis hastarim, even though you don't need bias mayim, you need royal bias mayim. So taisis and mesechtas nida, that's the general rule. A lot of details with regards to all these halachas, that's the general rule. So taisis says mesechtas nida, commenting on that gemara, he says, why don't you have to open your mouth lichachila? Why is there no lechatchigo to open your mouth? He says, you know, we find such a lechatchigo by other things. By bilas carbonis. You have to be able to mix the carbon mincha. So even though you don't have to mix it, you need roi lebila. If it's able to be mixed, meaning if there's too much oil to flour, that it won't mix, then the carbon's no good. If you have the right proportion, so then it is good, even if you didn't mix it. You need royal bila, but not bila. You know, bila is not ma'akeh. But there's a mitzvah to mix it. So if it is, how come over here too? There's no mitzvah to open your mouth. Why don't we find such a lechatchila? Says Tosis. There ain't svarga by tefila. There's no such concept as a lechatchila by tefila. So hikpida terel shi'atai her ha'adam. This is a matir. It's not a mitzvah to go to the mikvah, even if going to the mikvah on time is a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah to go to the mikvah. It's matir. It relieves a certain situation that you acquire. Therefore, it makes no sense to say, right, if it's a requirement, you got to just get it done with, right? We know this. Just get it done, daven it up, get it over with, and move on. There's no concept of chatchila when it comes to requirements, either yes or no. If you patered it up, you patered it up. If you didn't, you didn't. There's no concept of chatchila doing it the right way. You just got to get it over with. So it says when it comes to a matir, something that permits us to do something, there's no concept of chatchila b'di'evet. And tefila is a matir. The chatchila liboy, they came into b'di'evet tor. If you're tor b'di'evet, why would there be a chatchila? Chatchila nami lo liboy. So there's no, it doesn't make sense to say you have to do a lechatchila in the following way. But talo tvila aval bila. But when it comes to, let's say, doing mikra bikurim, by making that whole statement, proclamation you make when you bring your first fruits to the kohen, Rami Ovidovi, the whole story that you have to make when you bring the bikurim. So even though if you didn't bring it, you didn't make the mikra, you didn't make that proclamation, you didn't make the declaration, it's the bikurim, it's still bikurim, it's a mitzvah chatchigo to do it. So all of these concepts are mixing the carbon mincha, which is a mitzvah to do it, but b'di'evit, if you didn't, it's still kosher, those are mitzvahs. Mitzvahs ninhu. So therefore, there's a concept of lechatchila and b'di'evit even b'dayraisa. So Tosfos formulates the following principle: when it comes to mitzvos, there's a lechatchila and a b'di'evit, dayraisa even. When it comes to a matir, that which permits us to do something or relieves a status, there's no concept of lechatchila and b'di'evit. Either it does or it doesn't. There's no kind of way, it doesn't make sense to say lechatchila should do it in this way, b'di'evit is still good. If b'di'evit is still good, then why is there a lechatchila? It's only for fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem. It's a mitzvah. Oh, so lechatchila do it this way, but the yeved, you did it this way, it's still fine. So too says Rav Salavitch. That's what the Ramban is wrestling with. What's going on here by shechita? Is shechita a mitzvah? Then it makes sense. I should shecht the entire simonim, the connovation. Rav is only by the yeved. Yeah, but maybe shechita is not a mitzvah. Maybe shechita is just a matir. I don't have to, even if I want to eat meat, it's not a mitzvah to do shechita. It relieves the status of eino shachut. If you want to do it in the following procedure, the following way, but it's not a mitzvah necessarily to do it. So if it's not a mitzvah, it's only a matir. Matir that, it allows me to eat the meat. So then we can't really speak of lechatchila b'di'evit. Either it's matir the meat or it's not matir the meat. If roiv is matir the meat, but it doesn't make sense to say you have to require, shecht the entire simon. So that again, this shaila that Ramban is wrestling with, can you have a lechatchila and b'di'evit by shechita, midayraisa might hinge on whether shechita is a mate or shechita is a mitzvah. We have one other halacha chaver that we have to deal with by the bircha shechita, which finishes up the issue, and then we'll go on. All right.